This is Rad Dad Secrets, episode 11. My 9-year-old said what?
So the big question is this. How do regular dads, like us, who weren't given a playbook on parenting, who only have 24 hours in a day to make it all happen, how do we provide for our families in a way that will allow us to raise happy, successful children and have a thriving marriage while still being a man and doing the things we love? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. This is Rad Dad Secrets.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Jefferson and Eric. This is Rad Dad Secrets, and I wanted to start off this podcast by telling a little story. So a couple of days ago, my wife and I, we were sitting down with our kids, and we were kind of going over a little discussion on how to right the wrong. And how to make things right after you've done something wrong. So we went through the discussion and we figured that it was all over, and we go to stand up and everyone goes and they start doing their homework or start, you know, taking a bath and stuff like that. And I got up to do the dishes, and I was sitting there doing the dishes, and my 9-year-old came up to me and said, "Dad, I have something to tell you." And I said, "Okay. What do you need to tell me, sweetie?" And she was kind of quiet about it because she didn't want anyone else to hear. During our discussion, my wife and I said, almost, have you seen that episode of The Office where Michael Scott, the manager of the office,
gets up? Manager.
Yeah, the branch manager. He gets up and he says, "Hey, this is the time right now to, you've got immunity. If you've done something wrong in the office, let me know." You know, and there's this lady, this Meredith, gets up and she just says something horrible, like, and everyone's like, "She needs to be punished." And Michael's like, "No, you know, she's got immunity. I said that." So I kind of felt like that because my wife and I, we said, "Look, if you've ever done anything wrong, come up to us and tell us, and let's right this wrong and let's move on from it. Let's grow from this." And so she came up to me. She's like, "I need to tell you something. I've been using bad language at school."
Ooh.
And I'm like, "What do you mean you've been using bad language at school, sweetie? You're 9 years old." So we go from the kitchen and I take her back to the room, creating this podcast and doing research on dads and how can I become a better dad. My blood was boiling, but at the same time, I was like, "Okay, I've got to stay composed. I need to approach this in the correct way," right? One of our mottos is discipline with love, not with anger. And so right. I go into the bedroom. She basically explains to me that she's been using some bad language at school. I'm not going to get into the language, but I said, "Okay, sweetie, why would you use those words?" And she's like, "I don't know." And I, you know, I'm trying to get these answers out of her. It's like, are other kids using these words? And she's like, "Yes." And I said, "Okay." So I basically diffused the situation and I did it lovingly. As much as I just wanted to just lay into her, I didn't. I said, "Okay, let's right this wrong. Can you promise to me that you won't use those languages? Can you be the example at school for other kids by using correct language and good language?" And she said, "Yes, Dad." And so it got me thinking, though, after she left, it got me thinking about a couple of things. Number one, I have always said that I want to be the one to teach my kids. I do not want the world to teach my kids. I do not want other influences teaching my kids.
True that.
Taking the responsibility as a parent, as a father, I am going to be the one to teach my kids. So I'm glad we had that discussion with our kids about that. And now they know that they can come to us in love. Now, number two got me thinking, and this is kind of piggybacking off of the other podcast that we've done a couple of times ago on beliefs and on vision. Part of that is letting go of other things if someone's wronged you. Now, if you've done something wrong for somebody else, you need to right that wrong. And you need to right that wrong so you can progress as a person, as a father, as a husband, as a member of society. So letting go of that, if you're holding a grudge towards somebody that's wronged you, you need to let go of that. And if you've wronged somebody, you need to right that wrong. Now, I have a quote that I really like. It says, "When you forgive, you in no way change the past, but you sure do change the future." And I wholeheartedly believe in that.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. Can't change the past, but you can change the future. You can have total effect on that. And that is a classic story. And I want to applaud you for handling that the way you did, by the way, because I know it's not easy. And in fact, while you're saying that, I was like, oh, crud, I got a story. But I had the opposite reaction. I didn't take the path that I should have taken in the moment. But it circles right back around to exactly what you're talking about here. But so I'll jump right into it. My son, just the other day, we're getting ready to go to church on Sunday. And we got to get there early, right? Because he's helping out with some stuff before church starts, and it's his responsibility. And so I'm getting ready and getting stuff ready. And you know, we got six kids. We got an infant. Just trying to get stuff. You can imagine it's crazy and chaotic. So I think, you know, he's 14. He's usually pretty good about getting ready for church. And we need to be there at 10:10, right? So it is 10:03, 10:04. So I myself am running behind because I'm trying to help everybody else and didn't plan my time wisely. And I get out there. I'm like, where is he? Where is he? So I open the bathroom door and he's standing there in his chonies. He's in his undies sitting there with wet hair. And I'm like, I just look at him and I'm like, what are you doing? He looked at me like just deer in the headlights. He's like, getting ready for church. I was like, do you realize what time it is? No. I was like, are you kidding me? Gosh, it's 10:03. We're already going to be late because it takes 10 minutes to get to church. And now you're not even ready. I've been telling you, I've been getting myself and five other kids ready for church, and you can't even get yourself ready for church. And immediately, though, I see the walls go up and the eyebrows furrow down, you know, and he gets really defensive and he starts saying all these things back to me. And I'm like, don't you talk back to me, you know? And all of a sudden it escalated really quickly, you know? And all of a sudden we're having this battle of why it was my fault. He's tried to blame it on me after that. And I was like, no, this is your fault. You got to own this, you know? Anyway, he goes, he gets dressed, right? And I take him, we get there late. We barely make it to church at 10:30 on time. And he wasn't able to help out with what he was doing. But I will tell you this much. In the process of getting out into the car, I had the realization that it didn't really matter. It's not a big deal. And that, a guy named Hank Smith said that in a, I heard him quote that not too long ago. And it's been one of my favorite sayings to use with myself and with the kids. When things happen like this, just tell yourself, you know what? We're going to be late. And it's not a big deal. And another one is, we're going to be late, and that's okay. Because it was okay, right? It really wasn't the end of the world, but I treated it as if it was. And when he tried to blame it back on me, I was like, no, this isn't happening. But I also had the realization, which loops this right back around to exactly what you were talking about. When we were in the car, it was just me and him, and I was like, Tucker, I want to apologize to you. Because I should not have reacted that way when you were not in the shower. You're usually good about being to church on time. This time you were not. This doesn't change the fact that next week you better be on time. You better be ready early. I hope you learn from this. But I do want to apologize because if I relive that instant and I could have walked in there and said, oh, bummer, Tucker, you know we're going to be late now. Hurry up. It's okay. We'll get there when we get there. His eyebrows wouldn't have furrowed. He wouldn't have blamed it on me. And the whole situation would have been diffused. So to be able to right your wrong. And you know, some may argue that, say, I wasn't in the wrong, my child was. And there's truth to that. But the way I handled that situation, in my opinion, was not totally rad. I want to live up to that. And what you were saying, you know, doing this podcast and reading over the studies, man, it's changing who I am and as a father. And so I truly hope, again, that you guys subscribe to this podcast and you'll listen. And you can even find other podcasts, but be reading this stuff. Be listening to what we're saying and look further into it for yourself, right? Do your own research and really work on it because, man, it feels good when you start to implement a lot of these things that we've been going over in the past podcasts.
Basically, what this boils down to is you have the opportunity to choose to do something. Take two paths, right? You have the opportunity to choose to let go of things. And when you let go of those things, you have so much potential to grow. But if you hold on to them, I guarantee you're not going to grow. right? You're not going to grow. You're not going to progress. And you're just going to stay stuck in a rut. So our challenge to you is, if you've done something, you need to right that wrong. And if someone's done wrong to you, let it go. Let it go. Don't hold that grudge.
Yeah. The person, I mean, really, when somebody has wronged you, and even if they don't verbally apologize to you, the person that holds on to that is the one that, I mean, for lack of better terminology, is the one that doesn't forgive is really the one that's holding on to the greater sin. And not that it's like they did something terrible, but is they're causing themselves to suffer more than they really need to. And I got a great quote here too. Apologizing does not always mean you are wrong and the other person is right. It just means you value your relationship more than your ego. And I can't tell you how many fires have been put out in my marriage and my relationship. And, you know, when my wife and I have disagreements, or not even disagreements, really just miscommunications, like she didn't understand me, or I didn't understand her, or I said something that was really dumb, you know, and looking back, I'm like, oh, that was really dumb. I probably shouldn't have said that, you know, to be able to go back to that. And even if a little part of me is like, I feel justified in saying what I said, to be able to know that it affected her, it hurt her, and to be able to value our relationship more than my ego and be able to say I'm sorry has put out more fires than I can count, and really helps immensely. And the flip side of that too is, when you apologize, you have no control over whether they're going to accept that apology or not. You may try to right that wrong as much as you can. There's no guarantee they're going to take that. But the mere fact that you acknowledge them, that you value them and who they are and what your relationship is, that you can now release that. You have apologized, as long as it's sincere. None of this, fine, I'm sorry. That does not cut
right.
It. That's what my kids do. And well, maybe I've done that once or twice. But
you can't send it in a text either.
No.
you can't read text.
Is it all caps with an exclamation point and like a little heart?
Right.
Maybe that's, no. You know, a lot of times too, it boils down to righting your wrongs and also asking for forgiveness. A lot of times we expect, you know, forgiveness, or we expect them to forgive you. But until you verbally acknowledge that with your children, your wife, friends, family, whoever it is, you need to verbally get that out to them. So in all reality, you guys, it's not always easy and cherry being a dad, being a husband, the role we play, carrying on your full-time job, being there, not losing it over the smallest things. But I promise you, as you work on this, you will feel the joy as you conquer some of these things. When you start righting these wrongs, when you start recognizing the situation and what it is, and be able to ask for forgiveness and give that forgiveness, it will change you. You'll become more of a totally rad dad than you ever thought possible. We appreciate you guys. We love you. And we want you guys to subscribe. Leave us a review. We're having a $100 giveaway. We're checking the reviews, and we thank you guys. Those who have left reviews, we thank you so, so much for taking the time to do that. It means the world to us. We've read every single one of them. We have a $100 giveaway. Leave a review, subscribe, and at the end of March, we're going to be picking that winner. You'll get $100. And more importantly, by subscribing, by listening, you're going to become a better, totally rad dad. And remember, we are rad by choice,
not by chance. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Rad Dad Secrets Podcast. Subscribe now to never miss another episode or opportunity to become a better father, husband, and man. Also, be sure to join our Totally Rad Dads private Facebook group for constant support and tips on being the best dad possible. If you haven't yet, please leave us a review. It helps us immensely on iTunes. And remember, we are Rad Dads by choice, not by chance.